Hey there, I'm Christine.
And I'm Stephanie.
And welcome to the Incremental Steps podcast.
We're a couple of smart, curious women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
We're learning that we can't do it alone, like most things. We need each other, all of us. So every couple of weeks, we're going to check in for support in these difficult times and challenge each other to find new ways to leave a lighter footprint.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Christine.
Thank you so much for going with me today. I know we usually say a hey, how are you? But I know how you are because you just rode with me to drop a piece of artwork off for the One Earth, One Change show. And I really appreciate that.
Well, I was happy to support you in that way. Good for you for having a piece in an art show.
Right? Well, it's an art show about artists standing up for an end to global warming. So right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's do some like a talk abouts about what we could talk about today before we launch into this week's podcast.
All right, let's see. I could talk about daffodils in February.
I could talk about a crazy attack of imposter syndrome and freaking out and calling a friend for support.
let's see. I could talk about making progress in the league.
I could talk about the daffodils that are blooming in my yard, but also the gladiolas that I planted this weekend.
Oh, let's see. I could talk about looking forward to events coming up.
I could talk about not buying the laundry detergent that I was supposed to buy and and recommitting to that.
Yeah, I could talk about adorable packaging.
I could talk about, what could I talk about? Oh, I could talk about dancing.
I didn't talk about that.
Right? You could talk about hazmat.
I could talk about crazy environmental problems in my own backyard.
Don't we all have them now? Well, that's a good segue
into hazmat teams. I hope not.
I think we should start out with that story because that's a pretty crazy story.
Okay, so we're recording on Sunday. On Friday, which is Valentine's Day, I came home from work early. It was Friday, so we left a little bit early. And I got out of my car, and it smelled like tires were burning or something, like chemically was burning. I
hate that smell.
Yeah. Well, it smelled a lot like, you know, sometimes if you can tell your brakes are going out because you have a weird smell when you get out of your car.
Right.
And so I thought that might be it, but it was really overwhelming. So I went through my house to the backyard to see if I could still smell it, in which case I didn't think it was likely to be my car, and I definitely did. And then I saw smoke wafting over. There's a pond in my backyard, and there was smoke coming from behind it, which didn't make sense to me. So I walked down to find out what's going on. And at the bottom of a levee on the other side of the pond, it's just a detention pond, and it runs down to the Chattahoochee River eventually. Mm-hmm. So there's a little runoff sluice. And at the bottom of that sluice, there was smoke coming out, which didn't make any sense to me. It was like smoke was coming out of water. It didn't look right.
Right.
And nobody was there. And I called out, and you know, I knew that we had expected workmen to be working on the levee that week, but I hadn't heard anything. I called the fire department. And
as one should when you see smoke
it's
and
so
a fire.
Funny because I thought, well, it's really small, and surely I'm not the only person seeing this.
But you're right by the, you've got woods, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the national forest.
It was right there at the national forest. Uh-huh. So, I actually hesitated about calling 911. Like, should I call 911 or should I just call, like, the fire department? And then I thought, Stephanie, you're being stupid. Call 911. It's a fire. So I called 911. The fire department came. I walked them over to where it was. And they were kind of stumped, and one of their guys took just like a big branch and poked at it, and then just all the smoke came billowing out. And they were like, "Well, it's spray foam. I don't know why it's on fire, but it's just loads and loads and loads of spray foam down here."
So, which is not what you expect to find in the woods.
It's not what you expect to find on concrete, even. I didn't have any idea that that's what was being done. So I didn't know if it was kids just doing something or if this was the work that was supposed to be done on that area. The supervisor's like, well, it's a full-on hazmat situation now. So he calls hazmat. So hazmat comes out.
Can you describe that just in a little bit in detail? Because, first of all, I have a picture in my brain about what hazmat looks like. But were they in suits?
No.
Were they not in suits? Okay. So I want to make sure it's not the Hollywood version.
It was not like gloves and masks and all that. It was just another set of firefighters who had a truck that had things to deal with chemical type fires, I think.
Okay.
Because our Gwinnett County Fire Department is very well funded and has lots of bells and whistles. And
yay.
This is one of them.
Nice.
So, yeah, they have a hazmat
nice.
Team.
Yeah.
So
They also have another tactical unit, but that's a whole nother discussion for another time.
Right. Let's take this one crisis at a time.
Right.
So the hazmat team comes out and eventually they get it put out. I had actually gone back to my house for part of this and I came back out as they were leaving. And, the homeowners association president is there at that point and she's asking questions. And it turns out, at that house, so the team that was supposed to be doing work on the levee had mm-hmm. been there that morning. They had like a big drum full of the spray foam stuff and like a long hose that they ran down to do it with. So they just sprayed a ton of this spray foam underneath this part of the concrete that I guess was settling and had some erosion. And I guess they sprayed so much of this stuff, and it wanted to expand so much that it was creating so much heat underneath this concrete that it just self-ignited, which in and of itself is troubling. I mean,
yes.
I'm very disturbed by this. Or it can be that one of the workmen had a cigarette or something. They don't really know what started the fire, but they suspect it was just a chemical reaction that got out of control. They had to rip up all this stuff to get it out, and then it's just sitting there. And this is all the waterway that leads to the Chattahoochee River, which is a major water source for Atlanta.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they did air testing because, like I said, it smelled terrible, and said that it smelled bad, but that it wasn't dangerous, it wasn't hazardous,
mm-hmm.
whatever the smell was. So I, threw in my two cents with the Homeowners Association president about the fact that, if we are fixing things that lead to a major water source, we need to make sure that they are environmentally sound. And,
yes, please.
And not going to further pollute the water. So I know she was yelling at the workmen about that, but that apparently is the standard practice now. Like if you have some kind of
cement thing,
you just pump it with full of spray foam.
Okay, so, back to your comment about, could it be kids just playing around? It feels like that. Like, it feels like grown-up kids playing around without thought for consequences, for long-term consequences down the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't understand.
But I mean, apparently that's a standard practice for erosion mitigation now.
That's so troubling to me. Like, I want to look that up.
Why not put stones
there?
I don't understand it.
Right. Why would we pump the earth full of more chemicals?
So, one of the things the Homeowners Association president said was that they were supposed to put spray foam in and then attach rocks all around it so that it's all compacted there, which I guess if they had done, really could have blown the whole thing up. Like, that would have just made it...
So I just had this vision, right? Like, this my brain is thinking in cinema terms today.
Yeah,
I just had you standing on your back deck and seeing like
a mushroom cloud. I know, coming from the forest. It was the weirdest thing.
Well, it is really concerning to me that, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've played with spray foam before. It's a really cool,
But you also know how much it expands.
It expands, but it's also nasty. Like,
yeah.
It's like styrofoam. It's
right.
Like the styrofoam of this generation, which we all know styrofoam is bad for us.
Let me hit you with another little thing. I work in an auction gallery, so we get things in from all over the world to be auctioned off. The new trend now in packaging to keep things stable is to just put them in plastic and spray foam the shit out of it. Yeah. So we get things in from like China and faraway places, and they're like encased in this stuff, and you have to cut through it to get it out.
That makes my heart hurt.
It ruins the cardboard boxes they come in,
which could be recyclable or reused.
Right, there's no chance of that after this happens. and it's just a mess, and it's hard to deal with.
And what is the, like,
the advantage? I mean,
here's the thing with that spray foam, as you know, if it catches on fire, it's a pollutant. You've had personal experience with that.
And apparently it can catch on fire.
And then the other thing is, what's the shelf life on it?
Like, forever, I'm sure.
Right? Oh. Well, and I know this is kind of a segue, kind of not. Like, I read somewhere this week that they're trying to deregulate the asbestos. Saying that it's okay. Like,
that's a super villain move.
Right?
We know that's a cancer-causing agent.
But even, like, the spray foam, it can't be, like, I'm just thinking about, I'm like, the world is upside down right now.
It really is. I mean, every day there's some, like, so-and-so is deregulating blah-blah-blah, and it's like, oh.
Well, the environment has been taking a hit. Huge hit. You know, and that kind of takes me into the what can we do part of it, right? And my one little piece, even though I freaked out this morning about putting a piece of artwork in a show, I have to tell you, if it was an environmental show, I think I would have probably chickened out this morning.
Really? It was a very cute piece. It was a collage piece of a blue heron, which I know is like a totem of yours.
It's very special for me. Yeah, absolutely.
It was very nice.
Thank you. I submitted 3 pieces, and it was actually kind of my third choice. So when they picked my third choice, which of course, you know, you get that voice in your head. I don't very often, so it took me by surprise. Like, you're not good enough. So I had myself convinced, oh, they picked this one because it was the smallest of the three.
I was gonna say, do you think, because we deal with this a lot at work with art pieces, when you look at it and it's just a picture of it, you don't have a sense in your head of the scope of it, like the size of it,
right?
Do you think they thought it was bigger?
No, I put the measurements on there.
Yeah,
but I mean, until who knows,
people
who
knows, pay attention.
I don't know. I'm really honored that I have a piece in the show. The show is called One Earth, One Chance. And it opens this Wednesday. Actually, it'll open probably the day before we launch this podcast. But it's going to open. It's going to be open. It's going to be up for weeks. And it is going to be, it's 100 plus artists standing for an end to global warming. And it's going to be showing at the Georgia State University Perimeter Clarkston campus in their art gallery. And so there's a panel about social activism and the climate, and that panel is going to be on March 12th at 7 p.m. I was about to say 2 p.m., but that's because my eyes are getting old.
Me too.
But it's at 7 p.m., and they're going to have people from Earth Science Department. They're going to have an author from Drawdown. They're going to have the president of South Face. They're going to have AJC writer, like, it's a big deal about how do we take a stand and how do we end global warming. So I like things. Our listeners may not know this, but my dear friends all know this about me. I like things that are stacked. I don't know if there's an official term for it, but if it can do like 2 or 3 things at once, that's a lot of times how I choose to do things, because our lives are so busy and crazy. If it's one dimensional, a lot of times I may like it, but I'm like, oh, I don't have enough time for that. Right. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, okay, this is art, which I'm a huge believer in using your art for activism. This is art. This is activism. This is climate change. And oh, by the way, I have a lot of friends in the show who I adore and don't get to see often enough. So it was like a four, boom, 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 do this. So it really surprised me this morning when I had a freak out and had to call you and say, I need a road buddy. I can't do this.
Well, I was honored to be there for you, and I'm happy to do it again if you need to, although I think your art stands for itself.
Thank you. I feel like such a baby in the art world because, you know, my husband Joe is such an incredible artist, you know, and this is a good thing for art and for really anything in life, you know. Comparison is the thief of joy. Who said that? Was it Emerson that said that or Thoreau? One of the big boys said that. But comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And I know that to be true. And I mostly in my life don't dabble in that. But it is funny around art that I do because, first of all, I'm married to an incredible artist. I have friends that are incredible artists. And I just recently, in the last, I don't know, 3 years, started claiming myself as an artist.
Really?
Even saying it out loud. Like, I mean, I've always been creative. I've always dabbled, but to actually call myself an artist. But yesterday, like a good example, I was going to support my friend Sonia Oso, who did this beautiful global mandala 2020 project. And this project originated, I want to say, 2 or 3 years ago was when I was first made aware of it at a organization called Alternate Roots, where arts and activism meet. And she was telling us about this project, and she had us all take a four inch round disc and do art on it on one side, and on the other side put our hopes and our dreams for world peace on the other side. And then she has compiled these over the years from all over the world. And she had this mandala. I showed you pictures of it. We'll put a picture on that.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. And it was an offering to Mother Earth and healing the planet. And it was so stunning. And I was going to support her. And then I realized, oh, I have a couple of pieces. Like, I have a little piece in the big of the whole. And it just made my heart like expand. And my Girl Scouts do too, because my troop did some. Oh, at nice. One of our meetings. And so it just, I don't know, it made me think about incremental steps. It made me think about a little piece of the whole. Like, it made me think, like, I don't have to have a whole show.
Right.
I can have one teeny piece of it and make a difference. And I may not even know the difference it makes, right? But it just, I don't know, I was thinking about that.
You can be I think you can also be pretty early into the journey and still claim it.
Yeah.
As yours. Yeah. Like, you are an artist, even if you have...
Even if I'm a baby artist.
Yeah, even if you're still, you know, learning and kind of figuring right. it out, you're still there. You're still right? an artist.
And people have to start somewhere. That's the thing. I think that's part of our Photoshop culture or our perfectionist culture, is people think, oh, it has to be perfect. And, you know, I'm a big believer in my own life and in interplay, using movement and storytelling and art, that those are our birthright practices. Like... We don't, just because we don't have a $1 million contract or we don't not splashed all over the magazines, it doesn't mean that we're not good enough or can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've got a friend, Terry, who I work with, and she makes collages. And I think she started doing them as kind of a fun, therapeutic thing for herself after she was in a divorce. Mm-hmm. And so she's, you know, she just sort of was playing around with it and started going to Atlanta Collage Society meetings and started, you know, just entering in pieces, and they would do a show and she'd get a piece accepted.
Nice.
And she just kept going at that. And now she's the president of the Atlanta Collage Society, and people are commissioning work. So, I mean, it's just,
it's nice.
A matter of if you're aligned with that.
You know what would be fun is to collaborate with her and us do a workshop around that, around the planet.
I'm sure she would be willing to do
like,
that.
Like, we should consider that. Because you okay. and I both like collages. We like... I mean, that would be fun to offer that up and to have a gathering where we play with all art right. and collages.
Stay tuned, people.
Right? We'll announce that. That's kind of cool. Yeah. Well, and I do know Callahan McDonough, who's the curator of this with the Women's Caucus for Art of Georgia. I know she plans on these art pieces continuing. Like, this is not just like a one-time show.
Cool.
It is like a let's keep going and talking about this and using our art to bring awareness, which artists have done, you know, for centuries. Like, I mean, you think about the hieroglyphs, you think about, like, art has been a part of our culture, and how do we make change when we can't reach people with words sometimes? Hmm. I think especially in our culture right now, you know, there's in America, how opposite sides of the fence people are right now.
It seems like what you really need to break through, if the goal of that kind of art is to get in the faces of people who maybe aren't giving that a lot of thought, is to have something that's really Instagram worthy, like where the luxury brand people are, where the...
Well, and I don't even know, is it the not giving it thought? I think, you know, I had a teacher tell me a while back, I don't even remember where I was, if I was at a workshop or I don't know where this came from. But it was about, you know, helping people refall in love with Mother Earth and nature and, you know, things we take for granted because we are outdoorsy people, and we are hikers, and we're environmentalists and conservationists, and we get the beauty and the value. And I think even when you say Instagram, but
do you know what I'm talking about? Like the people that are out there that are influencers have this. Like if you go out onto their space, it's an idealized vision of the world through a lens of of wealth and class and privilege, and not that there's anything inherently wrong with that, except that it's not sustainable,
right?
So I get the dream. Well, speaking of that, I understand wanting the pretty whatever.
Well, we're having some people start to speak out. Like,
talk about Jane Fonda.
Oh my gosh, Jane Fonda at the Oscars. So I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I was following it a little bit afterwards, and she recycled a dress, which, you know, that's a big. But she did it.
Why is that a big? I know, but if you have a gorgeous, you want to know why? Wear it more than once.
Well, that's because of our culture. And saying you have to buy more and new and everything. And what she did is she took a stand, and her red coat that she's been wearing at these climate marches and climate events that she's been leading in DC, she said that was the last new piece of clothing she was buying. The thought just popped into my head. Does that include underwear? But, Jane Fonda probably she might be set. Like, she probably has a closet that's bigger than a store.
Or maybe, maybe she's free. Maybe that's not her jam.
We have no idea. I love that woman. But, it's been identified that the fashion industry is one of the biggest polluters on our planet. So, I don't know where it ranks with the cows, but...
It's just an unsustainable level of consuming.
Absolutely. That's what you're talking about. Consume. I recently watched... I Netflixed binged the, this is going to be my guilty pleasure. Everybody's about to hear Next in Fashion.
Did you watch it too? I did too.
Oh my gosh. Didn't you love the guy who ended up winning, had an environmental piece and slant to it?
Wait, no. What? What are you talking about? That's not Next in Fashion. Minju won Next in Fashion.
Oh, so he was runner up.
Daniel was.
Right. He was runner up. Okay. Sorry. He didn't win. You're right. Because Minju was amazing. She was amazing. But... He was, we told spoiler where, shoot, we'll have to put that on the website. Don't listen if you want to not have a spoiler. But I love the fact that he said what I totally believe in is when you have a platform talking about issues that matter to you and using his art to do it. Like, I was like, yeah, I love you.
I get that. But at the same time, like, I have my guilty pleasure is watching sort of fashion shows like that just to see what they think,
right?
What is and isn't,
right?
I'm always intrigued by that because it makes no sense to me,
right?
And to see the kind of ways that they basically take a two-dimensional idea and make it a three-dimensional piece of work.
I just love the creativity of it too.
I'm fascinated by how they're able to conceptualize things like that, but. Yeah, it's not, but again, that's the sort of thing that at the same time I'm looking at it, but I'm like, well, but that's all, again, that's an unsustainable model that's not, I did like that he used scraps.
Absolutely.
To make his art.
Right.
One of his pieces. That was really cool.
Which, like my piece today, used scraps and was a collage out of recycled, which was kind of cool, which may be why I got picked, but so I guess
the challenge then, I mean, I'm, you know, challenge set. Fashion industry, figure out how to do it with the stuff we already have. We have plenty of fabric already. We don't need more fabric in the world. We have enough fabric for the next 10 generations of people.
Woo! Yeah. Like, it is fascinating to me. And I do think people are starting to talk about it and think about it. It is, you know, I'm guilty. Like, I have too much junk. I need to declutter and repurpose and reuse and, And it's in the midst of how do we do all this, you know, that I think that's why we started this conversation and this podcast is like, how do we do it in the midst of everything else? Like, what are our incremental steps around this?
Yeah. How do we do it within the confines of having to live the lives we live?
Right.
Like, I don't have any options about really commuting downtown every day. I have to, that's where my work is. So I have to be there.
Well, as far as the fashion industry goes, I mean, one of my options, I'm a huge thrift store lover. Like, I don't get to do it as often as I want, but I love recycling or repurposing clothes and thrift store shopping.
Well, and that's where, you know, when you see a fashion show like that, you can kind of get some ideas about ways you could use things and repurpose them. So I like the ideas. I just,
Well, yeah. And you know, I like to wear a lot of flowy, I like things that are overlaid. Can I tell you my trick about how to do that at a thrift store shared with me? So if you don't have a lot of time in a thrift store, which some of them can be really overwhelming, depending on the ones you go to. Sure. We have some really good ones here in Georgia. But one of the tricks, especially if you like long, flowy things, is to go and look at the bottom of the aisles. Because the way they hang things, and then you just pull out the things that are long. And I have gotten some really good pieces, even with tags on them and things like that. But if I don't have a lot of time, I just go in and I skim the bottom and I see what's different or not, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of fun. That's one of my tips and tricks. So,
okay. Yeah. Little pro tip.
On thrifting. So you tell me.
Yeah, let's talk about our challenges. So the last week, we were going to take on laundry. And, so I ordered the drops on Amazon. Constant apology for using Amazon, but.
Did you go in and change the thing about the packaging?
No, I haven't made that change yet.
I put in the request, but I don't know that I've ordered anything in a box that I would see. Like, I don't.
I need to find that and check it out. I didn't see it, but.
Okay. No, you have to chat. It's not like a. You have to ask for it. It's not. They haven't made it standard.
Okay. I don't think
you have to ask for it. So. Okay. And I did ask for it. I need to follow up on it. I'm not a huge, like, Amazon purchaser. I got one thing today, but it was in an envelope. So that wouldn't make a difference.
Gotcha. Okay. So I got the drops.
Okay.
So it's just a little pod, like other little pods, except it's liquid inside and clear. But it comes in a very cute, tiny little box. Like it's just, a little bit bigger than the size of your hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like length-wise, and maybe an inch deep, inch or two deep. So it's a very small little cardboard box it comes in. It comes with a little, it has a little pouch that has a zipper. So if you're washing cold water, you put the little pouch inside, you put the pod inside the little thing and wash it that way. And you just throw it in with your laundry. You don't put it in the, if you've got a place to put a pod, that's not what you do. We've only done one load of laundry because we only got it a couple days ago. It took it a while to get here. But it came out fine. So I guess that's the benefit. The benefit was simply the packaging. Like, you're avoiding yet another big plastic tub of something.
Right. And okay. I did not get mine ordered. I will get that done. I looked up and 2 weeks have gone by. I'm not really exactly sure where it all went. Okay. But
we'll look back around to that.
But I will tell you, like, I was shopping at Costco the other day, which I hadn't had a membership in 2 years. And I don't know how that happened.
And how did that feel?
To re-go back in.
Yeah.
Really? Almost made Stephanie spit her tea. I go through spurts with Costco, right? But they have gotten so much better about their gluten-free products, and they're so much cheaper, and they do less packaging sometimes. Like, if you're paying attention, like, you can get some good things, and you just have to, like, their organic juices, their, they've got some things that, as long as you have self-control and don't look at all the side tempting.
I don't have self-control in a Costco situation.
Well, that's why I let myself not have a membership for 2 years. But there are definitely some things I need that I'm like, is needed.
Okay, I'm going to glom on to that.
Right? Okay. Tell me.
No, I just mean, like, now that you have a membership.
Absolutely. I'll take you to Costco. Okay. Let's go. And then we can be self-control buddies for each other. Nope. But the whole reason I brought that up.
I'm not sure that's a good plan.
The whole reason I brought that up is, they had a great deal on laundry detergent. But it was a big old plastic jug. And so it made me, from our discussion the other day, I thought, nope, don't do that. Order the sheets. And one of the reasons I hadn't ordered the sheets yet is I still had a big old deal of laundry detergent. So, you know, it wasn't. But I need to order them right now. So by the time that I get done, you know, it's that whole planning thing. Executive functioning, which some days is a little challenging.
Here's what you could do. You could order the sheets and use the sheets and then use the rest of your detergent later.
Oh, I could. I like the way you think, my friend. I like the way you think. So, you know, that also goes to health, right? Because I was walking around and they really have done a, like, some of their organic juices, they have a 3-day juice fast, which, you know, I know people are on the fence about that. But $20 for a 3-day juice fast. No?
I just think that's a lot of sugar. That doesn't sound healthy to me.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. Do what you want to do.
I don't know. I was tempted. I didn't do it. I didn't have enough room in my fridge, and I knew I wasn't going to do it over this long weekend.
I know what happens to me if I go on a 3-day juice fast. As soon as that is over, I am diving into a box of cookies, and I'm not coming out for like 4 days.
Right? It's that whole yo-yo thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so tricky. Yeah. I got to do something, though. I am, you know... It is time. I know we've talked about the incremental fasting. I did it for 2 days this week.
Hold on. Before we move on to, diet stuff, I just want to give a little plug because I'm not the person in my family who does the laundry.
Oh, giving a shout out to
Shout out to my significant other, Steve, who is the one who does laundry and who said what you really should be talking about are the wool balls. So we have these wool balls that we put in our...
Of course, he would say we needed to be talking about the balls.
No, but he said it definitely does shorten the length of time it takes for the clothes to dry.
Well, I need to do that then.
Yeah.
So where'd you get those?
On Amazon.
Of course you did, right?
You can just...
I remember last year we talked about having an Amazon fast, and we never really did. Look, she's shaking her head no. Like, she's shaking me off. I wish you guys could see the look that came on her face. Like, she was like, yeah, no, that's not happening.
I feel for the people who work at Amazon, and I choose the lesser of two delivery dates, generally, because I don't want somebody driving themselves crazy to ship me my stuff. But I do shop at Amazon.
Well, I mean, but that's part of, like, our whole conversation is how do you do this in this modern day world when you work, you're raising a family, you're doing a household, you're an activist, involved in our...
There are a lot of things on Amazon I can't get anywhere else.
Right.
So, that's one of, like, it was... So, yeah, I'm sure there are plenty of places you can get little woolen
balls.
We can
make them, too.
If you want to felt together some wool, you're welcome to do that. I don't have that kind of time, but...
Yeah, I've got a 22-year-old who's incredible with a crochet needle, and she's a knitter. I could ask her.
I'll have to show you. It looks like a big ball of felt.
Okay.
But, yeah. Anyway, so he said those were really great, and definitely there is an energy savings there because it definitely does shorten the length of time it takes to,
Pro tip.
To do the laundry.
Thank you, Steve.
So we can move on.
All right. Move on to our health and wellness.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so February, mid-February, how the heck did that happen?
Right?
I said Happy New Year to somebody yesterday. They looked at me like I was a nut. I'm like, we're in the first 3 months. Don't you get to say Happy New Year?
It's new-ish. Right? Still.
She laughed because she's like, yeah, I haven't been here. We were at Zumba class. I'm like, girl, I haven't been here a year. Like,
happy couple of years.
Happy. I bet you thought you'd never see me again.
That's funny.
Yeah. So it's very interesting coming back after 2 months of not. Like, of having restrictions because of a surgery. Like, you know, I've always been active. I've always been doing things. And so I'm getting back in. Like, yesterday,
you haven't joined my team yet.
Join the team. Yes, absolutely. So I've been walking. We danced yesterday. We did an hour of Zumba. And then we went to the Global Mandala Project. And we did...
That's a lot.
And then we did an hour and a half of the Dance of Universal Peace. So
Oh my gosh.
I danced for 2.5 hours yesterday.
Wow.
And I didn't die. Like,
feel pretty good.
Right, I feel great.
Area that was being I feel
great.
On, feel
like, I feel really good. So it's time. Like, I can tell that my body is back, and it is time. The other thing is, I don't know if it's just me or because I've always been active my whole life and I was an athlete for such a long time. Like, my body really does like 2 hours, and I don't have time for that. Like, yesterday, I slept so...
2 hours of exercise?
Oh, yeah. Like, yesterday, because, I mean, really and truly, yesterday I did 2.5 hours, right?
Because we used to walk together, and you were like, you know, not so much 3 miles as two. And I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, whatever works for you. But so, your body actually wants more.
It wants more. Right, right. It's just the fact of timing. Like, how do you...
Yeah,
like,
I hear that.
And also the cycling of, maybe I can't do that every day, but maybe I can do that 2 days a week, right? Maybe I can do more longer. Because, you know, when I was doing triathlons, like, that middle distance, that Olympic distance, my body really liked.
Wow.
But I also, the next step was the half Ironman, and I didn't have time. Like, there...
I can just from doing this this walking challenge, mm-hmm. the Run the Year
yep.
thing.
Yeah.
We're okay, so to do 2020 miles in
yep.
2020, you have to walk or run or whatever yep. about 5.5 miles a day.
Yep.
So I tried doing it for a while and no, that was a big no from
yeah.
my knees and my hips and all the other, like, I could really tell the difference between like walking 4 miles in a day
right.
and walking 6 miles in
right.
a day. Like, there, it was a huge...
Right. Well, we haven't talked since I got back from ThesCon, which was the Georgia Thespian Conference.
Oh, yeah. So you did some walking.
We did 5 to 7 miles every day.
How do you
right?
do?
Well, when I came home, I was exhausted. But that was, I think, lack of sleep, not hydrated enough, walking that much for 3 days in a row, and being with 6,000 theater students, and no alone time for 3 days. Like... I don't think that was the walking. The walking probably kept me sane, honestly.
No, yeah, no, I mean, same.
Oh, and then the 3.5 hour school bus ride, not even a charter bus ride, right? So, so we went out while the tornado warnings were going on.
Oh,
like,
nice.
We left before that happened. So we were on the road when all that started happening.
Oh,
and we came
wow.
back after the snow. Like, talk about crazy weather, right? Here in Georgia, we went from literally... tornado warnings on a Thursday.
Yep.
It was rainy and hot the next day. Or,
right.
And then,
yeah.
And then it was...
It snowed on Saturday.
It snowed. It was like 3 inches of
mm-hmm,
snow.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
It was... And then it was sort of fine on Sunday.
And then it rained and melted. And yeah. It's just
it
so...
It
was wackadoodle. And so yeah. So I felt good. Like, I think... Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you're doing your stretches. You're...
Right. So, okay. So, of the things that I said I was going to do, my goal was to walk 5.5 miles a day for this thing to do the 2020.
Right.
And I decided pretty early on that that was
not
a wise goal.
Yeah.
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 Not going to be good for me. So, I kind of backed off that a little bit. But I am doing... I also wanted to do 10 to 15, 20 minutes of stretching at least once a day and
mm-hmm.
5 minutes of meditation. And I've done that every day. And I can tell you that my joints are happy. I can feel that I'm getting a stronger core, kind of getting back to where I want to
mm-hmm.
be in those kind of terms
mm-hmm.
and stronger back. It's the things that I feel like those are the building blocks to the things that I also want to do. Like if once I have a strong back, strong core.
Yeah.
Reasonably strong joints, then I can think more about pushing myself, walking, running, that kind of thing. But I really have some things I need to do. And I just think just doing that, just 10 or 15 minutes every morning, and then I walk quite a bit at work, has made a difference. I've lost a little weight, not a lot, and it hasn't kept coming off. It kind of
yeah.
came off a little bit
yeah.
and stopped. But I think this notion that we're being fed by the health industry that you're either doing it or you're not. You're either on a Peloton for 60 minutes or
right.
you're in a boot camp thing or,
right.
you know, whatever the fit thing?
CrossFit!
Yeah, that if you're not at that level of activity, that you're not doing anything. And I think that's setting you up to fail.
It's a disservice. I was reading an article this week. I didn't read the full thing, so I should say that. But, you know, it was about, is that even good for women's bodies?
I don't think it is.
And so I think it depends on the body. Like, I think it's like, I think this goes back to our body wisdom, right?
Right.
We have to figure out what works for us. What works for us personally. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all when it comes to diet or exercise. And I think the challenge is, it's tricky. Like, I mean, I know my body. My body's a long-distance runner. And I don't have time to put in those miles sometimes. Like, or
well,
maybe I don't
yeah.
make time.
What
I know, whatever. But I really don't have 2 hours a day to dedicate to exercise.
Right.
And maybe I need to. But at this point in my life, while I'm still full-time parenting and running a business and involved in the community, like, what? I've also noticed, right. I really noticed my patterns. If I don't get 7.5 hours of sleep, I don't lose weight. Sleep is one of those things that is crucial to me. And so that should be what I commit to.
Well, what I know about sleep. Me is that I naturally have hyperextended joints.
Okay.
So things that are easy and doable for other people are harder for me because I don't have the strength in my joints. I have the flexibility, but not the strength.
Okay. So, that's a good thing to know.
Yeah. So I have to really, like, dial it back. I can't do boot camp things because they want you to do things that will blow out my joints.
Well, I think that's a really good thing to pay attention to and know. Like,
right.
And I think that would be my challenge to everybody out there. Like, really check in with your body wisdom. And it's okay to try different things. It's okay to say, oh, this works. It's a, like, I know my body loves yoga. Loves it. And I have not been doing enough of it. And you and I were having this discussion before we got online. We're sitting in my messy office currently doing this. And that's one of the things that I struggle with is, like, you know, I go to do self-care stuff and the floor needs to be shampooed or the office needs to be cleaned. And I can't wait for the perfectionism of my house in order to do the things I need to do for self-care.
Can you just tactically speak, can you put a blanket or something down
I can, yeah. But, you know, the twins are coming in a month, so it's on the list.
You need to do it anyway.
It's behind. I'm behind from everything right now. But, you know, it's one of those places I operate from sometimes. So,
Incremental steps, Christine.
Right? We talk about what we need to know. Isn't that the truth? So I have so loved our conversation today. I'm noticing we're a little over on what we usually do on time.
Oh, okay.
So we probably ought to wrap. What do we want to challenge each other to in the next couple of weeks?
Okay, so I am still staying with the packaging thing for now.
Okay.
I ordered the same product or a similar product for dishwashing, so I'll see how that goes.
Okay.
It should be in a little cardboard box also.
I'm curious about that.
And I ordered bar soap shampoo.
Okay.
I know.
Right?
I have the same reaction.
I've always seen that from hiking magazines and things like that, which I think about it in my hiking gear, but I don't.
It's becoming kind of sheeshy.
Okay.
So
I'm curious about that because of the whole, like, I have one brand of shampoo I've used for years. And
oh,
I do
really?
Get a bigger package, so I use less packaging and I try to refill, but I'm. You know how when you find something that you love, I'm curious. I'm curious to hear how this goes for you.
Okay. I'm constantly dissatisfied with shampoo or whatever. For a long time, I didn't use it at all.
Okay.
But we'll see. Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just going to see.
Okay.
I'm going to see what it's like.
Okay.
And then I'm going to see if it's possible to replicate it at home and if that's
so,
a good thing to do.
Okay. I love that idea a lot. Okay, so I'm going to order the sheets. I am going to recommit to my stretching and yoga. And
okay.
I'm going to show up at this artist gallery opening and pretend like I'm an artist on Wednesday.
Just, you know, wear black and be moody.
Oh, God, I can do this. We shouldn't have stereotypes of our artist friends because we are one of them.
I'm
All right, my
playing.
Friend. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice
This has been the Incremental Steps podcast.
So
our theme music is A Woman Feels Her Power. Big thanks to Karen Drucker for letting us use it. Visit incrementalstepspodcast.com for all kinds of great information. We would love to hear from you.